we sing a verse of what a friend we have in Jesus? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Please pray for me this afternoon that the Lord would have His way and that we would be obedient as a servant of the Lord and follow Him in the direction that He gives us. I feel a great need as we have gathered here of the comfort that comes from the Word of God, and just being among the brethren has helped me already this afternoon to be able to share in our troubles and in our problems in this world with friends that we know have an understanding of what trouble and problems are, and to be able to know that we have a great God to look to in the midst of the storms of life. He was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. It means a lot to me to know that you're praying for me, and it's important for us to pray for one another, and I'm thankful to have the fellowship of the brethren and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cold, dry, dark world this would be if we didn't have the kingdom of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into from time to time and come away from the old trouble world. I hope that's what He'll give us this afternoon. I believe it's already what we've enjoyed in the song service and in the fellowship. And I pray that He'll give us a few words to speak in His name from the Scripture, that the Lord might comfort us and cause us to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. The passage that I've got on my mind this afternoon is probably one that is one of the most familiar to everyone that has anything to do or read about the Bible. If they know anything about the Bible at all, it's probably this passage that they do know, and that's the 23rd Psalm. I know I've spoken from the 23rd Psalm many times. A little hesitant as we look at it even this afternoon. I don't want to become repetitious. But I don't believe that we can say too much what the 23rd Psalm teaches and declare it too much. And if the Lord's in the matter, it'll be just as fresh and new to us as if we were hearing it for the very first time. And I pray that that's kind of the kind of instruction that we receive this afternoon. I think of that first love that we feel in our lives when we feel the love of Almighty God towards us, and how precious that love was as we look back in our lives and recognize and come to the place where we understand, we look back and see where we understood that the Lord loved us and what that meant to us. And today, I hope we feel just as much that love as we felt it that first time we felt it, and that we not only feel it to that level, but that we actually grow in grace and knowledge and in love with the Lord, because He truly has loved us. This psalm is certainly a psalm that expresses the love of God towards His people, and how that He loves them, and in that He takes care of them and He watches over them. And it's certainly one that will give us great comfort when you're going through trouble. Sure, as we live in this world, we're going to face trouble, and you're not going to escape that. It's how we deal with it, how we confront it, how we live in this world, that's important, that we as God's children stand diligently and stand in the truth and stand in the way of the Lord and live our life in a way to honor and glorify Him. I hope that's one of your chief concerns today. It should be. Is that my life is honoring God, that I'm glorifying the Lord. When our lives glorify the Lord, we find our lives rich and meaningful and having purpose. And when we forget what we're here for and cease to glorify Him in our life, we soon become very dry and dull and cold, and life gets most difficult. And in order to do that, honor God, we need to be taught. We need to listen. We need to heed the Word of God. And we need to understand that the Lord is indeed with us, so that as we're living our life and our days, we recognize in every situation, in every circumstance, God has not changed. That He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same forever. So that we are trusting in Him and depending upon Him no matter what. Like we tried to mention a little bit about Job this morning. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And I think that's really sums up a lot of what the 23rd Psalm is about. It's an expression of a little believer in Christ and the goodness and in the mercy of the Lord and in what the Lord has done for them, so that I'm trusting and leaning upon the Lord, though He slay me. Whatever the situation, I know the Lord will not forsake me as His child. And that's a great thing for us to understand and remember this afternoon. Let me read the psalm in your hearing. I'm sure most of you could quote this. I'd probably misquote it if I make an effort to quote it. So we'll just read it in your hearing. Psalm 23 begins at verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And what a wonderful thing to be able to say amen to this afternoon, to know that that is not only a good psalm to write on a card somewhere, but it's actually the truth of God's Word. The first statement of David in this psalm, and this I believe is a psalm of David, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I often think about that, of what a difference that makes to us and should make to us in our life, to know that the Lord is my shepherd. Today, whatever you're going through, I'm going through. I shared a little bit of that with you before services, and then we heard from so many. What a difficult life it would be. Where would we be today if there was no Lord, if there was no God, if there was no Lord that is? Now, the reality of the matter is, whether we recognize it or not, the Lord is. He is. God is. Whether I acknowledge it, whether you acknowledge it, whether we agree to it, whether we understand it, whether we know it, whether we believe it, will not change the fact that God is. God created the heavens and the earth. God is on His throne today. God is in control. This universe is not running on its own. Our lives are not haphazardly just without any control or providential care. I'm not saying that God causes all things to be, but I'm saying our God is ultimately on His throne and in control, and there is not anything outside of His overwhelming sovereign control. We have a God who is truly God. And that is true whether I believe it, whether I acknowledge it, whether you believe it, whether you acknowledge it, or whether anybody believes it or anybody acknowledges it. It's still true that God is God, and we can't change that. And that's a wonderful thing. Because if we can mess it up, if we can mess up our salvation, if we can mess up the plan and the purpose of God, man in his nature would absolutely do that, because that's what we are. We're mess ups. I'm a mess up. You're a mess up. I think one of the Sister Belinda said it earlier. She said, "Aren't we a mess?" And that's exactly what we are. I tried to talk a little bit this morning from Isaiah 55 that says we have no money. Without money and without price. It's wonderful that we can come and buy from the waters and feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, and he who hath no money, let him come and buy. We have nothing in and of ourselves where we can claim God's favor or God's mercy or God's grace or God's love. We don't have anything to be able to help us through in this whole world. We can't do it. If the Lord had done all he could do and left it up to us to finish, the work would not be finished. Our salvation would be incomplete. There would be none saved, no, not one. The good news is this. God is God, whether I acknowledge it or not. He changes not. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He hath pleased. And we've got a sovereign Lord today in this old world that seems so chaotic and out of control, who is ultimately in control that we can look to. And He's not just any God. He's our God. And that's a great, great blessing. The Lord. He is God. And the Lord is my shepherd. I believe this is speaking specifically of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my shepherd. The Lord is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the one to whom we answer to. It is He who hath made us and not we are ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And the Lord did not leave us without a shepherd. We have a great shepherd. Now, the Lord gives us under-shepherds. He gives us pastors. He gives us teachers. He gives us those who preach to us. But they are not the chief shepherd. They're the little shepherds that follow the chief shepherd that take care of the lambs and the sheep. And they're there to preach the word and to share the word. But they have to look to the one shepherd that gives each one of them the ability. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, and I know you're glad, that I'm not your shepherd, but that He's your shepherd. As y'all saw what a mess I was in just a few minutes ago, and I am still in that mess. And if you just depended on me, and I had to just depend on you, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd be in trouble. Now, it's good to have friends. It's good to have those you can come and pray with. It's good to have those you can eat with. It's good to have those you can have fellowship with. It's good to have those who will walk and hike the trails with you. It's good to have friends that you know you can lay your heart out before them, and they won't think any less of you because they already know who you are. And that is, without the Lord, we are nothing. So we don't have to play any games about that. But it's also wonderful to know that I am not just dependent on you and you dependent on me. All of us together are dependent upon a God who has all power and can't fail. And I'm just here to tell you that again this afternoon. You've heard me say it before. You've heard me preach it from this passage before. You've heard me probably many times. Some of you said, here he goes again on the 23rd Psalm. Well, that's okay. You hang in there a while. And if I can just tell you again how good God is and how much you ought to be dependent on Him so that you'll understand your salvation is secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God the Father was so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And the Son, in dying for you, did everything that was necessary that one day you'll be with Him in heaven. And every day you live, He's right here with you to be able to supply what you need. And the God who's with you today will be with you this afternoon. He'll be with you wherever you are. He's with our children. He is everywhere present. He is nowhere absent. And He's that way whether I believe it, you believe it, or whether any of us confess it. But God forbid that we would meet here today and not confess this and not declare this truth, and that His name would be honored and praised and glorified in this little church, Happy Creek Primitive Baptist Church, this afternoon, that we might honor the Lord together just by saying, the Lord, He is our shepherd. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, what did that do for David? It's a fact. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you belong to the Lord, it wasn't you that chose the Lord. It's the Lord who chose you. You were His before the very foundation of the world. He chose you in covenant. He looked down upon all of the sons of men, and He saw them all in need, all in trouble, saw what they would do. And in His sovereign choice, He selected, not based on any good that they would do or any evil that were in them. He based it upon His own love and according to His own purpose. And He chose in particular and specifically His children. And He loved them with an everlasting love. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate them from that love. And you belong to Him. And He is your shepherd, not because you made Him that, but because He is who He is. And the Lord is your shepherd. He is a personal shepherd. He is the one who's taking care of you. He's the one who came where you were and had what you needed and did for you what you could not have done. He did not just offer it to everybody. He gave it to His people.
His name is called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He came to do it, and He did it. And when He said it is finished, the work of redemption was finished and complete, and the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord says, He says, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. I had a little brother the other day, he said, when I used to read that verse, he said, I didn't understand it because it said, I shall not want. It sounded like I didn't want Him. Like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want Him. Well, that's not the case. And he knew that wasn't the case. But he said, I sure was glad to see what it did mean. And what it does mean is, because the Lord is my shepherd, I've got everything I need in Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my prophet. He's my priest. He's my king. He's my way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's my all in all. He is my everything. He is my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption. He's the one called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Light of the world. He's my Redeemer. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who saw us in our great need. And just like that Good Samaritan came where the one was in need and met his need and carried him and took care of him, the Lord came where we were and He worked a work of grace in our life. And everything that we'll ever face in our life, we have the Lord with us, so that we can say today from the Scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I know there are a lot of things that are troubling you today, a lot of things that if you had power, you would fix or you would change. There's a lot of things in my life that if I had the power, I would fix and I would change, and I'd just probably mess them up, to be honest with you, because my way is not like His way, and my thoughts are not like His thoughts. As high above the heaven, as the heavens are above the earth, His ways and thoughts are above my ways and thoughts, so I am much better off rather than having it just my way. And by the way, that's coming out of the old flesh, wanting it your way. It's the pride of life and the pride of the flesh to want to have it our way. We want it to work out our way. When it comes down to it, we are all to submit ourselves unto the Lord. And you know what submission means? It means we say to Him, Lord, not my way, but Thy way. Not, Lord, take my life and let it be. Just take my life over. And I just pray that God would allow us all today to find the peace and the rest in just simply trusting in Him. Right now, you've got problems you can't fix. You've got things you can't handle. I've got things I can't fix. I've got things I can't handle. And the only way I can find any joy and rest and peace right now, and where I am in my life, is to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going to turn it over to Him. Cast all my cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And He tells us again and again to do that. You see, that's what sheep are supposed to do. Sheep aren't supposed to run out on their own. You don't see sheep just going anywhere. They need a shepherd. Sheep need to be guided. Sheep need to be fed. Sheep need to be taken care of. Sheep need to be protected. That's the nature of a sheep. And the shepherd is there to do all of that. The Lord of heaven has made us as sheep so that you and I might be dependent upon Him and trusting in Him. That's why He tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And that's why we're to trust in Him today as the Lord who is my shepherd. Now, I know all of us can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and we get up and go out the door wanting for everything. And we're not satisfied when it doesn't turn out this way. And we want it to go this way. And we want this to happen. And Lord, we prayed about it. We thought this was going to happen. Lord, we asked You for this. Why didn't You give it to us? Lord, we told You what we want You to do. That's not what submitting to the Lord is about. Submitting unto the Lord is coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't know what's best here. And I'm asking Thee to guide me. I don't know what to do. And I can't do, what do I do when I don't know what to do? The Bible says to wait on the Lord. To stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord. Wait till He opens the door and the way. And when He opens the door, then move by faith and operate by faith and walk out and step into the Red Sea necessarily and watch the waters part. As the Lord leads you, He will open the door, and when it's time to, and when you get through, He'll shut that door and protect you from your enemies. Do you believe we have a God who's bigger than our enemies? I surely do. We have a God who's bigger than the devil. I surely do. He's already proven that. As a matter of fact, the devils are so weak in the presence of God that they cannot even do anything. They cannot even do anything. My son made that baby cry. Shame on you, boy. Yeah. Mess up like that. That's right. You took care of it, though. But you didn't get what you want. Do you see that? She didn't get what she wanted. And that's what, listen, that's us. Sometimes that's where we are. And we don't understand, do we? We don't understand. This looks like it's safe for me. This looks like it's okay for me, but that can do me harm. And the Lord says no, takes that away. And we didn't get what we want, so we end up doing what our nature teaches us to do. It's just what we do by nature. And what I'm saying to you, as God's little children, we have a new nature that will allow us by His grace to simply trust Him and then patiently wait on Him and then lean upon Him and then look to Him and continue to wait on Him and knowing that God has this in control. Listen, do you believe that God's on His throne today? I know you do. Say amen if you believe that. He's on His throne. And if that's the case, then everything, though we may think it's out of control, God's in control. And I don't want to just say this in front of you today. I want to feel it in my heart. I want you to feel it. I want it to be a reality in our life. Not just what's written on a page in a book in His Word. I want it written on my heart so that I understand the Lord truly is my shepherd. He loved me so much He died for me. And He sent His Son for me. And He saved me from an eternity of torment. He took that torment in my place. And not only removed my sin, He removed my guilt. He removed the condemnation I feel. He took all of that and bore it in His own body so that it would never be held against me anymore, which sets me free eternally and means day by day He supplies exceedingly abundantly above anything I could ask or think. And that shepherd, and what I said earlier is true. Whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, He's taking care of you anyway. But how much better is it for you and me when we trust Him? And we sing that hymn, "Trust and Obey," for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And by the way, if you're not happy in Jesus in this old world, you're not really happy. It's just a false sense of security that's really based on lies. The only happiness that's in this world is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not a way, He's the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He's the only way that God's little children will ever live a life that is with joy and peace and rest in this world. It's the only way you're going to get through your job. It's the only way you're going to get through your life is by trusting in Him. And I'm preaching more to me than anybody in this room. Because I need it. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to say it over. He's my shepherd. And I shall not want. I believe Job was saying that when he said, "Though he slay me, I trust him." I believe he was saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whatever is God's will, I'll be all right. God will supply. His grace is sufficient." His grace was sufficient when He told the Apostle Paul that, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and His grace is sufficient for us." And He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." This doesn't mean He grabs you by the nape of the neck and rams you into green pastures. It means He gives you a hunger. He gives you a desire for the green pastures. I believe we're sitting in the green pastures today. Wherever two or three are gathered together and the preaching of the gospel is going on and the little lambs and the sheep are sitting down feeding on the Word of God and the Spirit of God is present and the preaching of the gospel is going on and the Holy Spirit is blessing the preacher to preach and the Holy Spirit is carrying that Word to God's little children sitting there with ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand. That heart has been prepared of the Lord to receive the Word. The heart of the preacher has been prepared of the Lord to preach the Word, and the Lord makes us, supplies us the ability to be able to sit together in green pastures and like little sheep in green pastures. We feed on the Word of God. I hope you're feeding this afternoon. I hope you're finding that. If that's the case, it isn't the preacher who gave that to you, it's the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice here is where the sheep lie down. When do sheep lie down? The sheep don't lie down when they're scared to death. They stay up. They stand up. They're alert. They don't go lay down when they're scared. They lay down when they're without fear. When do sheep lay down? They lay down to rest. And they rest when they're not afraid. They're not sitting there looking for something to attack them on every hand. They're not waiting for some catastrophe to come in. They're not waiting to be overwhelmed. They're at peace. They're in the abundance of the green pastures that have been supplied by the Lord. And they lie down in those green pastures and eat freely and rest in peace. And when are God's little children at rest in peace? Listen, if we're waiting for the troublers our enemies to be removed from the scene, that'll happen one day, but that'll happen after we die. We won't have any peace while we're living. Listen, we will have adversaries, but you and I do not have to be afraid, because we have a great shepherd, a chief shepherd, who is able to take care of the wolves of this world. You believe that? I believe he is. You believe he's bigger than our problems? I believe he is. If we have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, he said we could say unto a sycamine tree to get up and go, and it would have to get up and go. We could ask a mountain be removed. Whatsoever we stand in need of, if two or three agree, and we look to the Lord, and it is truly according to the word and the will of God, he will answer us. Knock, and he'll open unto you. Seek, and you shall find. We have a God that we can trust and depend upon. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Troubled waters are all around us. I'll tell you, the Lord's provided for still waters. Isn't it wonderful to have some still waters to come to today and be able to freely, when you're thirsty, take a good deep drink? Hope you drink it. Hope you're praying. Hope you're looking to the Lord. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. Listen, the Lord's little children sometimes get weak in their soul. They get hungry in their soul. Their soul can hunger and their soul can thirst. And we need instruction and teaching from the Word of God. And the Lord restores our soul. He lifts us up. When we humble ourselves, he lifts us up. And we need to help one another and instruct one another. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord's leading us all today, and it's in a path of righteousness. It's in a path where we're to use faith and exercise faith in believing Him. When you talk about a path of righteousness, it's not so much that we start doing all good things and everything we do in our life is right and good. It's about believing the Lord. And as you and I are believing the Lord and exercising faith, as Abraham believed God, he accounted unto him for righteousness. As you and I believe God, he accounts it unto us for righteousness. And when are we pleasing God? Is when I'm trusting in God, when I'm believing in God, and when I'm depending upon God. When am I doing good things? Is when I'm operating in faith. When I'm doing what God would have me to do, and I'm trusting Him, and I'm believing Him, and I'm doing it because I love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. He says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that word for his name's sake means for his own glory. Everything we do ought to be for the glory of God. That means when you're working on the job, you ought to be working for the glory of God. That'll keep you doing things even when the boss ain't looking, when he's turned the other way. Even when the boss isn't worth doing it for. When you have a family, you should love your husband for the glory of God. And it's even when times he's not so lovable. You're to love him. You're to love him for the glory of God. And when your wife is not doing what she ought to do, and you say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, all of us sometimes don't do what we ought to do. We're to love them for the glory of God. We're to love one another for the glory of God. In our church family, we're to love one another for the glory of God. We are to do and treat one another as the Lord's treated us, and we're to do it to honor and praise and glorify the Lord. I am to look and live in my life, not for my own benefit, but to the glory and the honor and praise of God, which, by the way, is for my benefit. One of God's children, the best they can be, is when they're living their lives to the glory of God. And that hymn that says, take my life and let it be, is exactly what we're to do. We're to lose our life so that we might find it. And if any man's going to save his life or hold on to his life, he's going to lose it. He won't lose his eternal life, but he'll sure lose the joys of his salvation while he's living here in this world. And he says, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Isn't that wonderful to know the Spirit of the Lord is in you? Say, I don't know what to do. No, you don't, but the Spirit of the Lord's in you. And He knows what you're to do. And so you wait on the Lord, and as He leads you and as He guides you, and He will in His time, as we look to Him, He speaks to us in that still, small voice. We sang the hymn this morning at Union Church. He whispers sweet peace to me. And if you notice the words of that hymn, it talks about when I'm in trouble and I don't know what to do and I don't know where to go, I hear Him speak to me in that still small voice, and He whispers in my ear, sweet peace to me. And He directs us. And you know, He walks with us, doesn't He? We sing like that. I think we believe it. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. Have you felt that today? Oh, He's saying to you, the Lord is my shepherd. And then you hear him when you look at the trees. You hear Him when you see the birds, and when you see the beautiful creation of God. Every day speaks unto you, and when we come into the church, we see Him like we see Him in no other place. Listen, there's no place like Mount Zion, like the Church of the Living God, to declare the glory and the praise and the honor and the glory of God. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That sounds like a bad place, doesn't it? The valley of the shadow of death. And really, our whole life, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is at hand. Death is not an enemy we're going to miss. And yet, we don't have to be afraid of it, even death itself. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And that is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's taken away death's venom sting. That though we will die, though that our spirit and our soul will depart from our body, it is not an eternal death. We'll be at that moment absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so that we can even say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because God's gone there before me. Jesus, in the person of Jesus Christ, has been there. He's there before. He's been there before me, and He prepared that place. He has even prepared death so that it cannot hold any of God's little children. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Won't be afraid. Why? For thou art with me. And if I can feel His presence today, that's all I need, is just to feel the Lord's presence. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think of the rod of God's protection, where He uses that rod to drive away our adversaries and our enemies and the wolves that would come and harm the flock. And yet also that rod and that staff also corrects God's little children. And He leads us in the right path. And when the sheep get out astray, He applies the rod to them in a chastening way. Not because He hates them. Not because He harms them. Sometimes they'll cry because they don't get their way. But He does correct us and lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And He does that sometimes with the rod. Sometimes with afflictions and troubles. You ever wonder why you have to go through some of the things you go through? And you say, why am I having to go through this? Well, believe me, we may not know, and I'm not pretending to give you the answer to that, other than God leads us and teaches us in affliction sometimes more than anything else. So as we go through these troubles, just remember, the Lord's still my shepherd. He's not changed. And He may be applying His rod to give me some correction and instruction that I'll better trust Him and lean upon Him and be a help to others of God's children. He says, for thy rod and thy staff, they do what? They comfort me. Somebody said, how could you get comforted by the correction that comes from God? Do you know if God's ever chasing you? Have you ever been whipped by the Lord? You ever messed up and had the Lord say to you, you messed up, and He corrects you, and you know that what you're getting comes as a direct result of disobedience towards God? And somebody would say, how would that comfort you? Listen, the ones He does that to are His children. That means you belong to Him. That means you'll never be separated from Him. That means He's watching over you. He's taking care of you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can be comforted in knowing that I belong to Him. And He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And in this world, we are filled with enemies all around us. You figured that out already. I know this world isn't our friend to help us along to God. This world is going contrary to the way of God. It's an untoward generation we're living in. And as we look at this world, you just see it growing worse and worse. Things aren't getting better. I think sometimes what our forefathers would think if they came back and looked at our world today and what people call good and what people call evil, how upside down and mixed up it is. And it's not getting better, it's becoming increasingly worse. And God's little children are having a harder and harder time living and getting along in this world because of that. We have many, many enemies that would do everything they could to say what we're saying is the truth is not the truth, and would have us embrace and believe a lie and go their way rather than His way. And what I say to you is what the Bible teaches, that even God in this world, in this evil world, He's able to prepare a table before us in the presence of His enemies. And I remember Daddy many years ago, a few years ago now, when he used to preach and he would talk on this passage. He said, well, what enemies do we have? He said, arthritis was one of his enemies, and this was an enemy, and that was an enemy, but God took care of him in the midst of all those enemies. Now, dementia is a great enemy, and it's gotten him, but you know, I believe the Lord's still taking care of my dad. I believe the Lord's right there with him, and He's able to take care of any enemies, and He is able to be there when I can't be. And even when Dad can't communicate with me, I know that the Lord is there because He said He was. And I can count on that. Don't you think that gives you some comfort? You know, I know that He knows him, whether He knows me or not. That kind of gets irrelevant. The Lord is still His shepherd, and He shall not want, because the Lord knows and the Lord's supplying. And that's our greatest connection right now, is in the Lord. We still have that connection. And that's a wonderful blessing to have that connection with the Lord's people. He says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oh, you get to a good meeting and you get happy in the Lord. I love to see us when we're happy in the Lord, you know, when we're crying and when we're laughing at the same time, and when you feel the joy of the Lord, and even though you got problems, you know everything's going to be all right. And you can feel that fellowship, and you feel the oil of gladness. It's like He pours. You know, in the Old Testament, they'd anoint those for service with oil on their heads, and oil would run down on their garment. I don't know what that would look like, but I think I know what it looks like spiritually. God's little children just get so happy in the Lord, it just becomes an outward, you just see it all over them. Brother Paul Troutman used to say that the Lord has filled my cup, and it's running. My cup is running over, and it's splashing on everybody. It's getting on everybody. It makes God's little children happy. Isn't it wonderful when you see a little brother or sister get so lifted up in the Lord, it kind of splash on everybody. They kind of affect everything. Brother Bob has got so much love in him and so much joy in him. He just lights a room up when he walks in, because his happiness kind of, sometimes he's not there, but sometimes he is there. When he isn't there, you miss it. And when he is there, you just kind of like, it's rubbing off on everybody. And I'm not bragging on Brother Bobby. I know that comes from the Lord. But I'm telling you, that's letting your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we as God's children want to be in such a way that the Lord has so filled our cup that we share it, and it just splashes on everybody. So it makes others feel encouraged when they see the goodness and the mercy of the Lord being shown to one. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's what he's talking about. My cup runneth over. And then verse 6. And we'll close. He says, surely goodness and mercy. Surely. This means truly. Absolutely sure. Absolutely true. Goodness. Hear me. Goodness and mercy. So what's coming today? Goodness and mercy. How do I know that? Because the Lord said surely. Surely. Hear me? Surely. Goodness and mercy. Hey, guess what? Tomorrow when you go to work, what's coming? Surely. Goodness and mercy. What about Tuesday? If Tuesday comes, goodness and mercy. What about Wednesday? Surely, goodness and mercy. What about Thursday? You know, get over Wednesday. What about Thursday? Goodness and mercy. What about Friday, if we have a Friday? Goodness and mercy. What about next week, next year, if the Lord tarries? Goodness and mercy. How often can we count on this promise? Every day. How sure is this promise? As sure as the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. How sure is that? Well, we've already acknowledged, we believe that. Well, let's believe verse 6 too. Surely, absolutely, truly, goodness and mercy shall follow me. So when you've had a bad day, what's been with you? Really, in reality. Surely, goodness and mercy has been with you. How do we know? The Word of God says so. No matter how I feel, no matter what I think about it, the Word of God, I'm going to submit myself to the Lord and what He says. Surely, goodness and mercy Listen, there's never been a day you've ever faced, or I've ever faced as God's child, that goodness and mercy did not follow me. Why? Because I belong to the Lord, and He said so, and He promised it. And my faith ought to be such that that's what I'm believing and that's what I'm saying and I'm confessing that and I'm looking to the Lord. And when I can't feel it, I pray, Lord, help me feel and help me see. I'm not saying make a lie before God. I'm saying when you don't feel it, confess that. But also come realizing I ought to be feeling goodness and mercy because the Lord said that's going to follow me. Surely, truly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, that means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every day. Every day. How long? As long as I live. All the days of my life. That's His God's promise for you. Any bad news in that? Y'all hear any bad news in that? Don't hear any bad news. I needed some good news today, didn't you? Well, that's the gospel. And why would that be the case? When I deserve His wrath, why would it be His case that I get goodness and mercy? Because Jesus said and came and died and took the wrath that I deserved and that which He deserved gave to me. Goodness and mercy has been shown to me because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. I'm not getting goodness and mercy because I did something to get it. I'm getting it in spite of what I've done. I'm getting it by His grace because of His promise. I'm not His sheep or His child because I chose Him. I'm His sheep and His child because He chose me. And He said, because I am His, I belong to Him by His choice, goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. Do you see any ifs, ands, or buts, or maybes here? None. Not one. No conditionalism in this. So your very worst day, can you think back and say, boy, I had a bad day that day. Can I say to you, you're just wrong. I don't mean to be ugly about that. You may feel that. I understand the feeling. I've been there, and I'm saying this more to me today. I've already said that. I'm saying it more to me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is this a day of my life? Yes. Then what's coming? Goodness and mercy. In the morning, in the evening, and at supper time. Goodness and mercy. You know what? Isn't that what a promise? You're talking about exceeding great and precious promises. You say, well, you've been on this point enough. Well, let's believe it. If we believe it, then we'll move on. But until we believe it, let's say it over and over again because it's the truth. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me when? All the days of my life. And then the promise comes, well, what about when my life is over here in this world? He says, and I will dwell. And I will dwell. Now, I don't die and don't go anywhere. I will dwell. I will abide. I will be with Him. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm not by myself. It's the house of the Lord. It means the Lord's there. And where the Lord is, that's heaven for me. Isn't that heaven for you? Where the Lord is. Somebody said, what is heaven going to be? It's going to be with Jesus. And we'll be satisfied. How old are we going to be? The exact right age. What will we look like? Just like we're supposed to. We'll be like Him and we'll be satisfied. Somebody might say, well, I don't know. Well, I see... Who will I see over there? You'll see all of God's children. How will I see them? You'll see them as the heirs of God and the joint heir of Jesus Christ. And you'll know them as they are known. You won't know less. You'll know more than you've ever known. And everything you know is going to be good and right. And whatever you know, you're going to be all right with. You'll be satisfied. Have you ever been completely satisfied here? I've been pretty close. Been some good days. Had a good meal this afternoon. Pretty well satisfied when I left. I didn't have anything, single thing to complain about. But just give us time. You know, give us time. And you know, and next thing you know, it's like being at a good meeting. You ever go to a good meeting and you hear the preaching and everything seems real good? And then on the way home, somebody, maybe y'all never done this, but on the way home, somebody said, but did you hear what so-and-so said? And the next thing you know, you're not satisfied anymore. You got something to complain about. I'm telling you, when we get to glory, there will not be one single complaint. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, how long? Forever. You know what that means? Like one brother said, you know what that word forever means in the Greek? Or in the Hebrew? It means forever. That's what it means. It means forever. Forever and ever. That means without end. So, good news. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are we so sad? You know, like Jesus talked to the two on the road to Emmaus as they were walking along. And He said, what's your communication as you walked along? Why are you so sad? Let's not be so sad. May the Lord help us. We can't do it without Him. May the Lord help us and help one another. I do appreciate your kind attention this afternoon. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. He said, I've heard enough preaching today.